weather, and especially that soul to be saved. Amen. Brother Chad, good to have you. Come on, speak to us tonight.
Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me if you would. Is this good, Brother Mike? Good. All right. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 12 this evening. Revelation number 12. And while I put this on, let me tell you, thank you so much to the church. We understand that the college students are sacrificing of their time and their labor to come up and labor with us. And we've got 10,000, well, a total of 30,000 printed tracts, and combined together, it's our goal. We want to knock close to 10,000 doors if we possibly can. And but I want to say thank you to the church. We know the college students are sacrificing, but the church sacrifices much. I understand, coming from this church, being a member of this church, that the college is part of the missions program. And without a church, and I thank God for the local church, amen, without a church sending them, they'd not be able to come. And we don't take that lightly. We're grateful, we're honored, we appreciate the fact that you want to labor with us and invest in our field that God's called us to. And we're praying. We've been praying for about the last 2 months, faithfully, our folks have, and asking God to give us over 100 souls next week. And we're believing God for that. And this past Sunday night, I was preaching, and I said, folks, you may be wondering, preacher, do you yourself believe that we'll see 100 plus souls saved? And my answer was no. And they looked at me, and I said, I believe, listen, by faith, we're going to see many more. And I believe that. And about 4 weeks ago, I called Dr. Pitts and asked him for a list of names of every college student that would be coming. And I prayed about this, and the Lord led me to do this. And I took that list and divided it up. And church, preacher's been telling you, pray, pray, pray. I believe there's power in prayer. I believe when we pray that we move the hand of God, amen. And but you're not the only ones praying. Our church has been praying for the last 4 weeks. There's been somewhere between 3 and 4 people praying for each college student by name on a daily basis, not just on Wednesdays, but every day for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, praying for you by name, praying that God would put a hedge of protection about you, praying that God would give you boldness and courage, praying that you'd have the power of God on you as you're soul winning. And we don't take that lightly. And I preached this message I'm going to preach this evening to our people just 2 weeks ago. And I prayed when preacher said that he was going to have me preach this evening. I prayed and sought what Lord had me to preach. And I just felt led of the Lord to preach this message, not because I didn't want to study and prepare something else, but I believe that it's needed. So look with me here, Revelation chapter 12, and going to do a little bit of a Bible study for just a couple of minutes, and I understand who the pastor is of Landmark Baptist Church. I don't think you could have a better teacher to study with and through the book of Revelation, amen. I enjoyed sitting in his class in Sunday school. I enjoyed sitting in his Revelation class in college. So I won't spend a whole lot of time. I just want to point out some things as we go. And then I've just got a short thought that I want to share with you. And so let me get on into it so we'll leave time for choir practice. Look at me in Revelation 12, verse number 1, if you would. Begin reading there. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Verse number 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, and she hath a place where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, and which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, it's an honor to be able to stand in the pulpit and to preach your word. And God, it's a blessing to be in your house gathered with your people. Father, right now as I preach, I pray that you'd be blessing our services back in Waycross. Pray that you'd be with Brother Wasden as he's preaching. Lord, we pray that you'd move and stir hearts there. But God, we pray that you'd move and stir our hearts. Father, I pray, Lord, as preacher made mention to earlier, God, there's not a one of us so spiritual that we don't need help. God, we need help this evening. And Lord, I can't do what needs done. So I ask the Holy Spirit of God to help me and to help us. I pray that you'd fill me with your power, dear God. Give me boldness and courage to say every word you'd have me to say. But Lord, I pray that I'd say them with love and compassion, dear God. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts here this evening. Lord, that you'd help us when we leave here tonight, we'd all be able to say, it's been good being in your house. And Father, I know that, Lord, some may be discouraged and say there's not many here. But Lord, I pray that perhaps there'd be one lost amongst us, that tonight they'd hear the truth of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, they'd call upon his name and know what it is to be saved and have their sins forgiven. Blessed now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go verse by verse for just a moment, and I'm going to try to move relatively quickly for the sake of time. And I want you to pay close attention as we go through and study for just a second, and then we'll get into the message. If you look at verse number 1, and I know these things aren't new to you, and the Bible says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. I believe that when we study our Bible, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture, and I believe that we need to study in its context, and thank God we've got the Holy Spirit of God, the greatest teacher we could ever have to study the Word of God. Amen. And you know, there's much talk about Israel right now. There's much talk about our nation and the things that are taking place and in the Middle East and so on and so forth. And folks, it's important. Listen, hey, don't become sympathetic to the, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, to the Muslims. Amen. Don't become sympathetic. And you say, but preacher, we know where we are. I know it, but you can't hear that enough. Amen. Hey, here in this verse, the woman being talked about, listen, it's important to understand who she is. The Bible says a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This woman here, listen, this woman's not Mary. This woman we find in verse number 1 is not Mary. And folks, the woman we find in verse number 1 ain't in the church, amen. But the woman found in verse number 1, I believe it on my heart, is Israel, amen. And that's who the Bible's talking about. Israel brought forth our Redeemer, amen. Thank God for that. Thank God that the Savior came. And listen, hey, the church didn't bring forth the Savior, but thank God that Jesus came and gave himself for the church. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. And the Bible talks about that there was much pain and many trials. Amen. Can I tell you, there was much pain and many trials for the Jews as they, we would receive the Savior. Amen. As a Savior would come into this world. And can I tell you, there's still, just as we see in the news today, there's still going to be much pain and much problems for Israel. But listen, thank God we know the end of the book. Amen. Thank God. Listen, even in this chapter, I believe we can see who the winner is. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. Amen. There's yet to be much pain and many trials for God's folks. Amen. The last half of the tribulation is going to it's going to be a painful time. And the Bible talks about in Isaiah 66 and verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth, and before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God that Jesus was willing to leave the portals of glory to come down to this old sin-cursed world, amen, to die for you and for me. I think about that. I preached Sunday morning out of Philippians chapter 2, amen, and I think about our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that at the name of Jesus, amen, every knee shall bow, amen. I think we ought to get back to making much of Jesus. We ought not be afraid of using the name Jesus and using our Lord and our Savior, amen. Thank the Lord for that. Well, look with me in verse number 3. The Bible says, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. The red dragon, we understand, as you study the Bible, I believe to be the devil, amen. Satan is who I believe to be the red dragon. You say, preacher, why did God instruct John to describe the dragon as red, amen? Because, listen, that talks about his, speaks of his murderous nature, the nature of Satan, amen. Folks, can I just get this across to you? College students, can I get this across? Hey, praying friends, can I get this across to you? The devil is real, amen. The devil is just as real and just as much at work today as you and I are real and at work today as well, amen. Hey, let me make that a step further. I believe the devil's even busier than many Christians in the day and age which we live. And shame on us in these last days, amen. But listen, the red dragon, John 8 and verse 44, talks about Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 talks about he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You say, preacher, I ain't got to worry about none of that. I'm a faithful church member, preacher. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a soul winner. Can I tell you, if anybody ought to watch out for that roaring lion, it's you that's trying to do something for Christ. Amen. If you're busy doing something for Christ, my friend, listen, the devil's busy trying to tear your life apart, trying to destroy your life, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy your church. Why? Because, listen, hey, he's enemies with God, and if you're saved and doing something for the Lord, you're his enemy. Amen. The Bible talks about, listen, how in Matthew chapter 4, how he hurled all that he could. Amen. He hurled all that he could, everything he could against Jesus. In John chapter 8, amen, the Bible talks about how he's the cause of all the murders. Amen. It's the devil. He's real, folks. He's real. It's time we wake up and quit playing games. We're in a spiritual battle. I think about that old song that evangelist Billy Kelly sang about, listen, hey, we're in a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. We're in the last days, amen, and it's a battle we live in. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, amen. It's not our neighbor and the person next to us who's our enemy, amen, but if you're saved and under the blood of Jesus, listen, Satan seeks to devour you, amen. The bloody dragon, look with me in verse number 4. The Bible says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I believe with all my heart, Satan did everything he could do, amen, to hinder Christ from going to the cross of Calvary, amen. He did all that he could do. Why? Because he's jealous. Because, hey, that's the reason why he got kicked out, amen, because he got so full of pride, amen, and he wanted to be elevated higher and above God. Amen. And so he got cast out because of his pride. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Hey, can I tell you something? Listen, hey, pride goeth before destruction. Amen. Hey, I believe the way up is to go down. Listen, Christian, instead of trying to build a name for ourselves, instead we ought to be on our knees making much about the name which is above every name, amen, the name of Jesus, amen. That was Satan's fault here, amen. The Bible says, verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I'll ascend unto the heaven, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, amen.
You see, listen, Satan is a defeated foe, amen, but he wants, listen, he wants to be elevated. He's our enemy, amen. Look with me for a moment, verse 4. The Bible says the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Listen, the devil wanted to do everything he could do to stop our Lord and Savior from making it to the cross. You remember when Jesus was born, amen. The old king, listen, hey, he wanted messengers to go and to find Jesus and come back and report and tell him where he was. But can I tell you something? Listen, old Satan is a deceiver, amen. And those who work on his behalf, they're deceived very easily, and they deceive others also if you're not too careful, amen. And listen, he wasn't looking to go worship Jesus. That ain't why he was worried about where he was. But listen, Satan wanted to kill Jesus. That's why we find out later on that, listen, there would come a time where every baby 2 years old and under was to be killed. Why? Because Satan wanted to destroy Jesus. He wanted to stop him before he could go to the cross of Calvary. Amen. But hey, praise be to Jesus. Amen. Listen, as preacher said earlier, I told our churches this past Sunday morning, I've been telling them this quite often. Amen. Hey, April 5th, the world will recognize Easter. Us as Christians, we ought to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. And I said, just like my preacher just said, hey, every time we come to the Lord's house on Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Hey, we don't worship on Sunday because of some man and what some man did. But we do it because our Lord and Savior came forth from the tomb on Sunday, amen. We meet because we serve a risen Savior, amen. That's why we come. Every Sunday is a celebration of the risen Savior. But I think about his death when he was dying there on the cross of Calvary. I think about before he ever made it to the cross, amen, how Satan did everything he could do to stop him and to hinder him. And the Bible talks about that as Jesus was praying there in the garden, amen, there was sweat drops of blood. I believe Satan was doing all he could do, even to kill him there, amen, to stop him before he could get to the cross. Hey, but praise be to Jesus, one of the last things that he said as he hung there on the cross, he cried out these words, "It is finished," amen. Hey, praise God, amen. Jesus finished the plan the Father sent him to finish, amen. Thank God for that, amen. Thank the Lord. Look with me in verse number 5. I'm going to hurry now. Verse 5 says, and she, talking about Israel, brought forth a man-child. Who's that man-child? Jesus, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. You look at Psalms 2 and verse number 9 there. And her child was caught up unto God. Hey, listen, and to his throne. Right now, can I tell you, thank God we don't serve a dead Savior, a dead God, but right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He's gone up. Now, if you'll look with me there in between verses 5 and verse number 6. Listen, I don't believe in a gap theory, amen. You believe what you want to believe, but I believe right here in Revelation chapter 12, I believe that we'll find a time, a span of time. Now, in order to rightly divide your Bible, I know a lot of people don't like this, but you've got to be a dispensationalist, amen. You've got to understand that God dealt with people in different times in different ways, amen. And right now, listen, some folks say we're living in the grace age. I don't argue that one bit, but can I tell you something? I believe with all my heart it's always been grace, amen. I like to refer to it as the church age. The day and age in which we live today is we're living in the church age. And right now, if you were to divide chapter number 12, verses 1 through verse number 5 are in the past. They're in the past. What do you mean, preacher? Well, listen, hey, Jesus is on the throne. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. He's already been born. Satan's already tried to do everything he could do to stop him, but Jesus has already been born. He's already died. He's already risen from the grave, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. And can I just add this real quick, amen? Thank God he's coming again, amen. He's coming again very soon, but I believe with all my heart. Now, in between verse 5 and 6, there's a time span, and it's called the church age, the age in which we live now. And I believe you studied the book of Revelation and look at the seven churches. I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age, amen. How do you know that, preacher? Look at all the empty pews, amen. We're just lukewarm. Well, if I get to church, I get there. If I don't, I don't. You know what the problem is? Our priorities need rearranging, amen. Too many Christians, and it ain't just your church. Don't just think it's you in Haines City. It's my church. It's a church across the street, a church across town, a church across the nation. Listen, we're living in that day of lukewarmness, amen, where folks, listen, hey, if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't. If they win somebody to Christ, they do. And if they don't, they don't. You know, hey, just so be it. I'm just doing all I can do, you know, and I'm okay with it. But that's the day and age which we're living in, I believe, is that Laodicean church age. Amen. By the way, can I remind you of something? The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Amen. And then the Bible talks about, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what that means? The closer we get, and I believe everything taking place in the Middle East, everything even that our nation is doing right now points to one thing. Jesus is coming, friends. Jesus is coming. That trump could sound, hey, soul winners, can I tell you something? I believe the last thing, preacher, on God's calendar, the only thing stopping Jesus from coming is this. There's still a soul to be saved. Hey, soul winner, wouldn't it be a grand thing if you're at the door with your New Testament sharing Christ with somebody? That person receives Christ by faith, and glory to God, the trump of God sounds, amen. I believe that's all that's left, amen. There's still a soul to be saved. I think we ought to still make much about soul winning, amen. Now let's get back to our passage here, verse number 6. These things are things to come, future things, the Bible says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And you do the math there and calculate that. That's talking about 3.5 years, amen. I believe that to be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, there's something interesting there in that verse. The Bible says, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should be fed there. Listen, hey, a lot of folks, they got different opinions. I can't say this for certain, but I believe that it very well could be that Red Rock City of Petra, amen. I believe that could be it. But I'm not going to argue about it. Because why? Because it don't matter where it is. One thing we know for sure is this. God said, where she hath a place prepared of God. God can make it wherever he wants to make it. One thing we know for sure, though, is listen, God's got a place prepared for him, amen. A place prepared that she should that they should feed her there 1,260 days, where she hath a place prepared of God. Amen. Hey, if God could take care of the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, amen, coming out of Egypt, don't you think God can do it again? If God could rain down manna from heaven, amen, don't you think God's capable of taking care of them for another 3.5 years? Listen, he's more than capable. How do I know it, preacher? Because I got his word that tells me, amen. Hey, thank God we've got his word, his pure, perfect word, amen. We can take it to the bank. It's a guarantee, amen. Thank the Lord for that, amen. Verse number 7, I've got to hurry. And by the way, just as God also protected the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, amen, coming out of Egypt into the promised land, I believe with all my heart that last 3.5 years, let me say this, of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, but of Jacob's trouble, amen, last 3.5 years, God's going to protect them, amen. He's going to watch over them and protect them. And let me just go on. I'll make some folks upset, but that'll be all right. I know where I'm preaching tonight, amen. Listen here, hey, I don't want to go through the tribulation. Thank God, according to God's word, he hadn't appointed me under wrath. I don't plan on going, amen. I believe that, listen, when the trump of God sounds, listen, I'm going out, and that 7 years of tribulation is going to start. That 7 years of Jacob's trouble. And can I say something, folks? Hey, listen here. We've been praying for Israel as well as a church. Hey, on our bulletin every Wednesday night, we've got a picture of the American flag, and we got the Israeli flag, amen. And every Wednesday night and every Sunday night, we pray for the nation of Israel. Why? Because they're God's people, amen. And I've been preaching and telling our people, God said, listen, he made a promise. He said, I'll bless them to bless thee, and I'll curse them to curse thee. Folks, listen here. You get turning the church around and trying to replace Israel with the church, and I'll tell you what you're asking for. You're asking for judgment. You're asking for a curse. Oh, preacher, no, no, no. Listen, either you believe the Bible or you don't. God said, I'll bless them to bless thee and curse them to curse thee. We can't go robbing promises that belong to Israel and say, now we're going to take them for the church and just kick Israel to the side. Amen, preacher, that's right. That's what I believe, amen. Verse number 7, I'm trying to get where I'm going. The Bible says there was a war in heaven. This is future, amen. There's a war, I believe it's future. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Now look at this. Notice these next words. That old serpent. What was Satan there in the garden? He appeared unto Eve, listen, as a serpent, amen. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now look at these next words. Which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now folks, I believe it all in my heart. Listen, I believe this is future. So you know what that means right now? Right now, listen, we've gotten an accuser of the brethren. And can I tell you what he's doing? He's making false accusations against my brother. He's making false accusations against my preacher. He's making false accusations against you. But can I tell you something? Listen, hey, in reality, they're not false. Why? Because I'm guilty. I've done those things. But whoo, thank God that when Jesus shed his blood and the blood was applied, I was just listening to you guys sing on the way here on CD, amen, that we recorded at our church, amen. Hey, talking about, listen, buried in the sea of forgetfulness, amen, as far as the east is from the west, amen. Hey, when he's up there accusing, amen, thank God that the Father can't see my sin. Why? Because Jesus is taking care of it, amen. Man, preacher, why are you getting so excited? Hey, because my past is erased, amen. Thank the Lord for that, amen. Hey, the devil brings it up and he'll whisper in my ear, hey, what about what you did a few years ago, boy? Hey, listen, hey, Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago. I thank God he took care of my past sin, my present sin, and the sin to come, amen. He took care of all my sin and all your sin, amen. But can I tell you right now, the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. That old serpent, amen, Satan, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Bible talks about, amen. And folks, can I tell you something? Don't be so naive as to think that he's not going to mess with you. Don't think just because you're a good church member and you're a good Christian that everything is okay. Can I tell you something? Listen, I shared this with our church. Listen, I've been sharing with them. I didn't think they understood what we were doing. You know what we're doing? Hey, we're declaring war on the devil next week, amen. We're sending out about 60 soldiers in foot troops, amen, and we're taking the battle to the street. We're going to kick the devil in his teeth. And can I tell you something? Hey, he's not going to stand still while we do it. Hey, it ain't just the soul winner he's going to mess with, but can I tell you who he'll mess with? He'll mess with the pastor of Countryside Baptist Church. He'll mess with the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. Hey, he'll mess with the family sitting in the pew. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy everything he can in order to get it to hinder us from doing what we're about to do, amen. And by the way, like I told my church this on Sunday night, listen, this thing we're doing on Monday, this ain't just a first-time thing or a one-time thing. This is a thing we do 2 days a week, every Thursday and every Saturday, amen. Our church, listen, straps our shoes on. There may be three, there may be 15, but we go, amen. Every week we do what the college is getting ready to do, amen. The good thing is we're just taking more numbers to the streets next week. Thank God for that, amen. Now look at me in verse number 12. Verse number 12, look at this. Verse 12 says this. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. See that woe? That woe is a dangerous thing. When we read that word woe, we ought to stop and pay attention. Bible says woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, boy, I'm saved, but I'm looking forward to going through the tribulation. You ain't studied your Bible too well then. Bible says woe. Woe to the inhabitants, amen. That's a terrible time, amen. That ain't no time to be rejoicing and thinking I'm going to be some great saint of God, amen. That's a terrible time where God's wrath is going to be poured out, amen. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, not the child of God, but Jacob's trouble. Is that all? I mean, I did get a lot of this from right here at this place. Some of y'all awful quiet and standing there, amen, just sitting there. I thought I knew where I was preaching. But look with me for a minute. The Bible says this. The Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Now, this is what I want to preach on. For the devil has come down unto you having a great wrath. And here's the phrase. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, I want to take that phrase and make some application. Can I tell you right now, listen, I believe right now, you and I as Christians have but a short time. And can I tell you, listen, the devil's not dead and the devil's no dummy. The devil knows that we have but a short time. The devil knows that he has but a short time, and he ain't gonna sit around and twiddle his thumbs when he knows he has but a short time. But you know what I find interesting about that? We as Christians know we have but a short time. What team's you pulling forward in the big game?
The Saints.
You know, Brother Pitts told me that he's staying home Sunday night to watch the game. You want to go with me over there?
He's suspect, all right.
It's funny and we're joking, but how many Christians you know sit around twiddling their thumbs when we know we have but a short time? Hey, I'm talking, listen, I ain't just preaching to you, but listen, God convicted the preacher about this, amen. Hey, when I get talking to my buddies about killing deer and killing turkeys, amen. Hey, the Holy Spirit says, hey, how about you start talking about winning somebody to Christ? How about you start talking about their children going to hell? How about you start talking to them about getting their family in church? You see, the devil knows he has but a short time. Christians, listen, if we understand our Bible, we know we have but a short time. Now listen, there's three times. I've got about 8 minutes here. As far as we know, the best of my study, amen, there's about three occasions when Satan appears in the Scriptures, amen. The first time he appeared, listen, there in the Garden of Eden. He appeared in the Garden of Eden. You know what he messed up? He messed up something that was perfect, amen. He messed up something that was perfect. What do you mean? Hey, the Garden of Eden was perfect, amen. Perfect temperature. Praise God, amen. I want to talk to Adam when we get to heaven. I sweat like a pig, amen. Listen, hey, they didn't know what it was like to sweat, amen. They didn't know what it was like to work, brother. You don't either, but anyhow, you'll find out one day, amen. But listen, I mean, it was paradise. It was perfect. I love you, brother. But it was perfect. Hey, the Bible talks about Adam walking the cool day with God. What'd Satan do when he come along? He messed up something that was perfect. The next time he comes along, you know what he messes up? He messes up a good Christian. What do you mean? Job. Job, who eschewed evil, amen. He came in there, man, and he tried to mess up a good Christian. And then you know what else he did, amen? Hey, he came along after Jesus had fasted for about 40 days, amen, after Jesus had fasted. And you know what that was? That was victory. That was 40 days of the Son of God spending time, amen, drawing close to the Heavenly Father. It'd do us Christians some good to do that, amen, to draw closer to our Heavenly Father. But listen, here comes Satan along, and he's trying to mess things up. Are you seeing a pattern here? That's the business that Satan's in, that Lucifer is in, that old red dragon is in, amen, that the devil is in. He's in the business of messing things up, amen. And don't you think that he ain't going to try to mess up your church? Don't you think he ain't going to try to mess up the college? Don't you think he ain't going to try to mess up your family and your marriage? We got a family right now. I mean, if humanly speaking, it's a picture perfect family, amen. I mean, a good family, a preacher's son, amen, and a nice family serving in the church. And you know what the devil did? The devil got in that thing, and he's messing that thing all up. He's trying to tear that family apart, trying to destroy it. Now listen, if you were to come to me and say, preacher, Brother Chad, could you point out one family that you think, listen, that is vulnerable to Satan's attack and that Satan's going to destroy? Can I tell you, that would be the very last family I'd point to. Why? Because it's a good family. I mean, they're faithful, they're tithers, they're soul winners, they're teachers, they're workers. I mean, hey, I can call them and, man, they'll stop what they're doing to do what I ask them to do. I mean, they're servants. I never would imagine, but you know what happened? Satan got in there and started tempting with a little bit of sin, with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and a little bit of this turned into a bunch of that. That's the business Satan's in. Can I tell you, that's a business he's in tonight. Soul winners, listen, college students, that's what he's in. Right now, if Satan can, you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to sow some discord amongst the brethren. He's going to try, listen, he's going to try ruffling your feathers and getting you a bad spirit, amen. He's going to try to do everything he can between now and Monday, listen, to mess your life up. Why? Because he knows what you're about to do. Hey, I told our church, listen, hey, he knows he has but a short time. Why? Because there's Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The fifth day, we're taking the feet to the street, amen. He knows he has but a short time. He wants to mess up some soul winners. He wants to mess up some church members. He wants to mess up some preacher boys. He wants to mess up everything he can. Why? Because he knows he has but a short time. Christians, listen, tonight we know that we have but a short time. Folks ask me, preacher, listen, I'm not bragging on me, but listen, hey, I've got to make myself take time off of my family. I've got to make myself. Why? I stay busy. From time I get up until about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I'm on the go. I don't slow down. I don't quit. I'm not griping about it. I love it. Amen. I'd rather stay busy than sit down. Amen. But people say, preacher, you got to slow down. You're only 35, but you're going to have a stroke. You're going to have a heart attack. You got to quit. And they say, why do you go daylight to dark? Why do you do what you do? Here's my answer. Because we have but a short time. Amen. Hey, why is it Pastor Carter is going to turn 80 years old this year and he's still going as strong as ever? Why is it today, I'm telling on you, preacher, why is it today he's on top of a roof at almost 80 years old? Why? Because he knows he has but a short time. Amen. Hey, Christians, listen, we ought to get busy like that. Every one of us, whether you're a bus driver or a bus worker, whether you're a soul winner, amen, or just a person that works in the nursery. And by the way, when I say just a person, the nursery, I tell our folks that's just as important as me up here preaching, amen, because the devil use them kids to distract some lost person from getting saved. They'll distract some saint of God that's about to get backslidden so that they won't get help, amen. Listen, no matter what you are, if you're a Sunday school teacher, no matter what you are, listen, hey, get busy and stay busy. Why? Because we have but a short time. But preacher, you don't understand. You talked about this Laodicea in church age. My Sunday school class, it's dwindled down. Only half of them show up. And it's not the same half every week. It's like they take turns. Hey, you're team A and you're team B. You go to the beach this week, we'll go next week. Yeah. Amen. I'm not dumb. I didn't fall, listen, off the wagon yesterday. Hey, and by the way, listen, I better be careful. If you're going to skip church to go to the beach, don't put it on Facebook. Who wants to go to the beach with me on Sunday? God help, amen. Use some common sense. I told my wife, read that to me. She said, I said, dude, what? I said, reply back. Who wants to go to church on Sunday? She said, are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. Why? Because we have but a short time. But preacher, they dwindled down. Hardly anybody's coming. Nobody's listening. Brother Pitts has bored us to death and this and that. Listen, why should we continue? I'll tell you why. Because I'm reminded of man in the Old Testament. A man that, listen, was living in the last days. What do you mean, preacher, last days in the book, the Old Testament? I'm talking about Noah. Noah lived in the last days of his day. And you know what? God came to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Noah, it's going to rain. Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. But God, what is that? Listen, it was the last days. And can I tell you something? If Noah wasn't faithful when he had but a short time, the human race wouldn't be here today. You say, but preacher, you know, this, listen, you say whatever you want to say. Because God had a man that was faithful, we're here. Could it be because God has a teacher that's faithful? Because God has a soul winner that's faithful? Because God has a bus driver that's faithful? That 30 years down the road, it may just be, amen, who can tell? I think about that message Brother McBride preached. Who can tell if maybe that little boy that was reached on the bus route in 2015, if God tarries his coming 30 years later, who can tell if that may be the next pastor 30 years down the road of Landmark Baptist Church? But can I tell you something? If we quit, if we slow down, if we relax, if we twiddle our thumbs and we say, well, it's the last days, it's getting hard. Listen, you don't think it was hard for Noah? When everybody laughed and everybody mocked and everybody ridiculed, you don't think it was hard? Yeah, it was hard, but he kept on, amen. Can I tell you, Christian, I didn't come here to beat you up. I just come here to try to encourage you. Don't quit, Miss Rose. I know that half the church, over half the church is getting tired. You're getting worn out, amen. You say, preacher, you don't even understand. You're right, I don't. But you know what? I know two that do. What do you mean? Hey, there's a God in heaven, but here on earth, listen, right there's an example. Right there. I told our church, I went and had a time of fellowship with the Hills today. Brother Herman and Miss Bonnie, love them to death. I went and spent 2 hours with them today and talking with them. I said, Brother Herman, I use you for preaching illustrations all the time. And I started sharing some of them with him, and he's laughing, and Miss Bonnie said, that's why your ears been burning, Herman. I said, I've been using them, amen. I told our people, when you soul winners get up there, listen, you ask them if their pastor's been telling them about a man that told them if they got problems, they got troubles, go get them two sticks, build a bridge, and get over it. That's Herman Hill theology, amen. But listen, I tell our folks this all the time, Brother Cruz. I said, listen, I know a man that's 84 years old in Central Florida. And that's just one. There's countless others right here in this room right now. But I just use one as an example. I said, listen, folks that are 40, 50 years old, oh, my back. I can't sit in them pews no more. And I just can't walk the streets no more. And preacher, I would drive the van, but I would teach, but them kids. I had a lady complain to me a couple weeks ago, preacher. I ain't kidding you. Brother Cruz, aren't you supposed to encourage your choir members to sing loud, sing out? I had somebody gripe. Preacher, I don't think I'm going to preach and sing in the choir no more. Because sister so-and-so next to me, she just sings way too loud. She drowns me out. Nobody can hear her. I said, well, sing up and sing louder. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. But you understand what I'm saying? I told our church, I said, there's a man 84 years old. Listen. I said, he can't do what he once done. But I tell you right now, I said 5 years ago, he'd outwork just about any man that was in college. I said, right now, listen, if anybody deserves to sit down, listen, it'd be men like him. But I said, you know what he still does? He still walks the aisle every Sunday. He can't move as fast. He can't pick his legs up as high. But I said, listen, he gets the job done. Why? Because we're living in the last days, amen, because we have but a short time. Christians, listen, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to discourage you. Listen, I wish I could just motivate you to keep on. Why? Because there's churches in Georgia. There's churches, listen, all over this country and all over this globe that you have a part in. You understand every single soul that gets saved next week? If you give to missions, listen, if you give in tithes and offerings, listen, you're going to have rewards in heaven. You say you really believe so? I sure do. Because they couldn't go unless somebody sent them. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they go except they be sent? You see, you're sending them. You got a part. Don't quit. Don't relax. Summer's coming. Don't cut back on your giving. Don't cut back on missions. But listen, hey, so much the more. Why? Because the day's coming. Hey, wouldn't you rather the buses have fuel and have little boys in heaven for eternity than have Obama have all your stuff when we leave this place? Amen. Listen, lay up your treasures in heaven. And I'm not just talking about monetary, but listen, hey, let's put our hands to the plow. Let's quit looking in the rearview mirror and let's just put our hands to the plow and be looking up. Amen. Why? Because we have but a short time. The devil knows he has but a short time. Christians, listen, we've got a book that tells us we have but a short time. Let's stay busy. Let's stay at it. Let's be faithful to pray. Hey, church, can I challenge you in this way? Can I challenge you in this way? I'm done right here. We got about 45 people in our church. And each one of them people have 8 college students that they're praying for every day. Can I challenge you to have a part in soul winning marathon next week? Instead of just praying and saying, God, oh, bless. Can I challenge you to go to Dr. Pitts and say, Dr. Pitts, could you give me a handful of names? They'll be gone and I won't remember them. So you give me a handful of names so that every day next week, every day from this day forward till this thing's over, I can pray for them by name. I can call them out to God. Why? Oh, because we have but a short time. Sinner, you may be here without Jesus this evening. And can I tell you, listen, I believe all my heart you have but a short time. Today is the day of salvation. You may not have another opportunity. You may not see Sunday. You may not see tomorrow. If you're here without Jesus, listen, why don't you get saved tonight? Preacher, I'll put it off till I get home. Listen, we just read in Revelation chapter 12 about the devil and his ways. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to break your heart and break your life. And if you put it off for another hour, for another day, can I tell you something? The devil will be real good about you putting it off for another day, another hour, another week. Can I tell you, there's coming a day, listen, there's coming a day that God may not deal with you ever again. If you're lost, get saved tonight. Christian, if you've been sitting, get busy tonight. If you've been lacking in praying, listen, get praying tonight. Whatever it is, if God's put his finger on something in your heart and your life tonight, listen, why don't you decide tonight, listen, I have but a short time. I just want to do all I can do. Bow your heads with me, would you? Jesus, we come before you. And I pray that you bless the message. I pray if there be one here that's lost tonight, they'd get saved. And God, I pray tonight that Christians, you'd stir our hearts. Lord, to do something for you, to stay busy, get busier than we've ever been before.